Welcome, Monsignor
Thank you
Esser.
so much.
And how was your day?
Today, when I woke up, Chris, I asked God, give me an entirely new awareness of your infinite love for me. And the word was on new. I think I think consider myself that something like this communication is beyond me. I'm never going to be able to master this. And the same thing was true with regard to my new hip. I'll never be able. And I for some reason or other, I've been hit with this deluge of negativity. And I always thought it was like demonic. And then yet our Lord, when he woke me up, my father said, John, I can give you a new awareness so that whatever love that I have for you, or you think I have, you can have it new. And all day long, it's been new. And even and so I've been experiencing this new awareness of his love for me with this new hip and my walking and the freedom that I'm going to have with it. It's not just that I have a new limb, but I'm going to be entirely new in my awareness of his love for me. And if I weren't born into this kind of age that I'm in, where I can get a piece of titanium and plastic or whatever, and who God, who made the bone of my hip, has now given man an opportunity to give me a new hip at 83, and for me, with my muscles, with the things that I'm doing, and with the therapy that I've had, I sense this newness, and it was all day long. And I think it came from Our Lady. What do you think that Our Lady was experiencing when this most magnificent of highly favored women, the greatest creature of God, suddenly became pregnant with new life that was divine? And that, how did Mary feel when she first felt impregnated with Jesus and the new life that was stirring within her in those first weeks that any mother, any of you who've carried a child, that she was beginning to experience a newness? I've heard mothers talk about that period of gestation, so that when their child was beginning to form, maybe some things like morning sickness accompany the new baby, and yet never is there like any discouragement with that, although you could feel quite ill, which I am experienced with this new hip. So I'm not comparing it to carrying a new baby, but I guess I am. And this newness and this sense of a new way of walking, a new way of receiving God's love that came to me very early this morning. And it was so beautiful. And I thank God for it. So that the infinite love of God, a new awareness of the in see, God in his infinity never ceases to give us newness in everyday activity. So I'm so grateful to God today. And the whole day has been new, brand new. And I'm connecting in very much with Our Lady. I have her large image of Rosa Mystica on the altar when I offered Mass at noon. And one of the things I especially thought about with her was an incident that occurred to me. Have I ever told you about my experience of Our Lady of Guadalupe when I was in Peru?
No, I don't think so, Monsignor.
I had one day I had a group of young people, children who loved to go to the beach because they were so poor and they had so little, and so it would really be wonderful when we get some soda and we get some food, and we go down to the beach, and they would have such a great time. And I had this Jeep, and I would gather all the young people called the Juventud Marcha, a young group of people from around the church. And we drove off to the beach at Paita. And it's a seaport in Peru. And beautiful ocean, beautiful beach. And after they were they were dancing and playing on the beach and playing games, I thought I'd go in for a swim. And I didn't realize as I entered into the water that it was going outward. It was like a current. Mm-hmm. And I was swimming for about 2 hours, and I suddenly looked up, and I was in a whirlpool. I was amazed. And I heard about you can't swim out of a whirlpool. And I lay on my back, and I thought, I'm just not going to be able to swim out of this. I'm not going to tire myself, although I think I was a good swimmer. Not even the best of swimmers could swim out of a whirlpool. So I just laid on my back, and I looked up at the sky, and I could see the clouds. I was going around and around. And I began to pray. And as I prayed, and I especially said to our Lord, you know, Lord, I loved you all my life, and I suppose it won't be long before I'll be seeing you, because this seems to be something I'm not going to be able to escape. And exactly when I was saying that, I heard this voice. Now, the din of a whirlpool is so enormous, but I heard this voice calling, Padrecito! Padrecito! It was a voice of a Peruvian man calling, Little Father! Little Father! And I swam up to the farthest I could get, to the lip of the whirlpool, and there was a man, and he had a balsa raft. And he said to me, shouting to me through the din, I can't get any closer to you. If I get any closer, I'm going to get caught in that whirlpool. But I will have my foot hanging over my balsa raft. And when you come around, you swim up to the end and grab hold of my foot, and I will pull you out of there. You swim as hard as you can. So the first time around, I missed his foot. I could see it there at the end of the whirlpool. The second time around, I grabbed his foot, and he was paddling his raft, and I was swimming as hard as I can. And finally, I broke loose from the whirlpool. And he was paddling. Now, by this time, we were about two miles out. And I was swimming, and he was pulling and yelling at me, swim, swim. And I was taking on water, and I was exhausted, but I was still trying to swim and paddle as he was pulling me into the shore, because the current was still strong. And as we came into the current, into the shore, I was totally exhausted. And I could still see him. One of the images of that I'll always remember, he took his balsa raft and he threw it down on the shore. And a woman, a Peruvian woman, who really an Indian woman, who came mm-hmm. over to me, and she said to me, Padrecito, Padrecito, little father, little father, I saw you out there, and I sent my son to save you. And I looked and I saw her, and it was the closest I ever saw to the image on the face of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Wow.
And I was so exhausted and throwing up water. I was vomiting, and I was so tired, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, they were gone. And I always remember that scene. And when I celebrated Our Lady of Guadalupe feast, that's the day I had my operation. I was so aware of her message. Her message is so simple. Don't you know I'm your mother? And you know, when she appeared to Juan Diego, when the Knights of Columbus blew up that image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, there mm-hmm. in the middle of the pupil of Mary's eyes, it had never been seen before, not till the Knights of Columbus spent all kinds of money on that image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. There in the eye, in the pupil of Our Lady, was Juan Diego. She was looking at him. And all I could see on the day that I was being operated on was Our Lady. And I was in the pupil of her eye. Keep me as the apple of your eye. And she was saying to me, don't you know I'm your mother? Don't you know I'm your mother? And today, when I awakened, and it's a week later since I'd been here, my father, very strongly, don't you know I'm your father? And I'm infinite love. And I said to him today, I want to get a new awareness of your infinite love for me. And I think every one of us, as we prepare for Christmas, today the beautiful Gospel of Our Lady visiting her cousin Elizabeth. And the baby Jesus is in Mary. And as I was offering Mass with the people today, I was reminding them, the baby Jesus, Jesus is in you when you celebrate and eat the Eucharist. That you become like Mary, the bearer of Jesus. You are a Christopher, a bearer of Jesus, just like Mary. And I am today too. And his voice, and he comes through, and through Mary, that Mary was bringing Jesus to John in the womb, and he leapt with joy. And each place I went today, I had that sense that I am bringing Jesus to everyone I meet. How wonderful it is, Chris, that through this little device that we have, that mm-hmm. I could bring his voice, and I could bring his words and his love, not mine, but his. And the Father saying to us, the infinite love that I have for you, it's always new. This Christmas is not same old, same old. Christmas 2011, this December 21st day, is new. It's a new awareness of the divine love. And I hope that everyone who hears this, wherever you are, or whatever your circumstance, God wants to live in you in a new way through Mary. And so that blessed and wonderful lady, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Nazareth, Our Lady wants to bring you anew her son Jesus this Christmas. Let him be born anew in your heart. Let him be born anew in your family. And wherever you go and whatever you do today, let this be a new day of grace.
Wow, it's so beautiful, Monsignor. Why is it so hard for many of us to accept Our Lady's love?
I think because we're so independent. You know, we want to grow up and do it ourselves. We want to be independent. You know, it's like we don't want to be dependent on our mother. And she doesn't want to make us dependent. She's the first mm-hmm. first woman that wants to make us independent. She doesn't want us to depend on her. She wants us to depend on God. And she never brings us to herself. She always brings us to him. And since he is the source of all strength, the source of all life, the source of all love. And then she is that perfect channel that will bring through her God. He came through her the first time, and he will come again through her to you today. That's what Christmas is. God became a man through her, and you also will become godlike through Mary.
If we could all have the same type of joy Elizabeth had when seeing her.
Yes. How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How Elizabeth had that faith. She saw, blessed are you who believed that the words spoken to you would be fulfilled, that the promise that was made will be completed. And so Mary trusted, and that's what makes her so outstanding. Be it done to me according to your word. And so let's ask Our Lady to help each of us to have that divine trust. So that's really what's going to help us through dependence, really, and on the promise that God is going to give to each of us.
In a very real way, Monsignor, you've always taught us that, you know, that Galatians 2:20, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So when we encounter the Blessed Mother, when our hearts are open, in a very real way, that child, that Christ in us, leaps for joy.
Yes, yes. In that, you see, the Jesus in you, when I meet him, Chris, when I meet you, I meet you're carrying him to me. And so I'm leaping with joy because I, like John the Baptist, am receiving him. And when I, like Mary, carry him within me, you can receive him through me. That's how he has made his body. We are all members of the body of Christ, each of us. None of us have Jesus completely. Through the highest and the lowest, all of us, each of us need each other to have and complete Christ in the world today. So that the lowliest person that you'll meet today, be aware that that person can give you something of Jesus as well as you give that person. That's why it's so important at this time of the year to care for the poor. The poor we have always with us. And especially at this Christmas time, you know, it's always been this great custom of Christmas to reach out to the poor, because it is in the poor that he is going to reveal himself especially to us. And remember when I was telling you about Margaret's baby? Mm-hmm. There I met in the poor. So you always meet Jesus in the poorest of the poor. Mother Teresa always had that magnificent experience and evidence of her life, that she would always reach out, not to the poor only, but to the poorest of the poor. And so she's given us, by her example, a tremendous example of Mary and of Christian love.
The Blessed Virgin, when she loves us so, as you have taught us and we've experienced hopefully in our lives, it's tragic when you think of her heart being pierced with a sword. You know, it's tragic when you think that the thoughts of many of us. I mean, is that what brings her sorrow? Is our pain as well?
I think when I... why don't you just relate it to yourself? When is that time of your life that you feel most abandoned and most forlorn? That is the time that you are most united with her son, Jesus. Because Jesus went to the depths of the cross. But since he's in you, he also goes to the depths of the cross in you. He goes through those loneliest times with you. He goes to those times when you feel most abandoned, most unwanted, most neglected, most weak, most broken. Each of us, if I look at my life, when am I so in need? That's when she's mostly there, because she's looking at him in me. When I was laying a few days ago in such agony, really fearful, feeling like I will never get well again, it was she who was looking at me. But who was that she was looking at? He so loves me that he came into me and was one with me in that lowest spot of my life. It isn't that I was away from him when I felt lonely, broken, and abandoned. It's that he, see, it's not how high I can reach that I please God. It's how low he can bend to pick me up. And wherever you are right now, in, you know, some of us on this Christmas time, you might be alone and you might be listening to this little meditation that Chris is offering. And now you're in a little room by yourself. No one is coming to visit you, and you feel so alone. That's when he's closest to you. Look then, not so much outside yourself, but look deep in your own heart. And there's where you're going to find Jesus, in you. You are now with him in the Garden of Agony, alone. Alone. No one with you. No one comforting you. Actually in agony. That's Jesus in you. When you feel so alone and so abandoned, your children have left you, your marriage is broken, you have awakened, and through maybe alcoholism or through some kind of a tragedy in your life, you have lost your family, or you feel your loved ones, and you feel so alone. She is with you there, Mary, looking at you. You're her child. And if you just even are able to pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. She's with you. She loves you. Do you know why? Because you're Jesus. You're Jesus now in your loneliness and your brokenness. He was there, not just in the Garden of Agony, in the year 33, but in your room now, watching you, caring for you. He's with you. And soon, you'll see, there will be a resurrection. You see, the great thing about Jesus is he did suffer, and he did die. The sword in Mary's heart was that sword of sorrow, of the agony, and the crucifixion. But I would love you to also experience this Christmas day the joy of Mary picking up the baby and holding him close to her heart, and you yourself experiencing a new resurrection, a newness, just like I was promised this morning, a new awareness of his infinite love for me.
You know, Monsignor, just as a mother of three children myself, I don't think anything ever brought me greatest consolation or joy is when one of my children would come, wrap their arms around me, and tell me that they love me. And I can't even imagine what that must be like for our Blessed Mother, just waiting for us to do the same.
Yes, yes. Let her do it now. Let yourself be so weak that she's so tender and she's so close to you. And that's what I'm going to pray. Mother of Christ, Mother of Christ, what can I ask of thee? I do not sigh for the wealth of earth, nor for the joys that fade and flee, but Mother of Christ, Mother of Christ, this do I ask of thee. The bliss untold, which thine arms enfold, the treasure upon thy knee. Mother of Christ, this do I ask of thee. Of all that are dear or cherished here, none shall be as dear as he. God bless you.